Good morning. Today is Tuesday, January the 24th. Joining us this morning from College of the Redwoods is not the guy with funny hyphen title.
Keith Snowflake.
Yeah, no, the interim thing. It's, I'm going to be so pleased when they get rid of that. Instead, it's Michael Richards from the automotive department. You probably have heard about the auto... Can I say shop? Is that okay?
Sure.
I mean, it's not pejorative, but...
It's your show. You
yeah,
say whatever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, right. one of the vocational programs at College of the Redwoods, was just kind of leave it in my simple minds. Oh, before we get there, though, our quote this morning comes from Simone Weil. There'll be less external discipline the more internal discipline there is. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So what is the biggest thing that's going on in the automotive classes at CR these days? Is it still battle for bucks?
Actually, with the strong workforce initiative from the state, we're getting some grant monies, and we've done a ton of improvements in our program. That combined with our Measure Q bond that we had, we've been working on for a few years now, we've updated our technology immensely and updated our shop. We're doing pretty good with technology there.
At one point, I know there was concern because things were changing and it wasn't perceived necessarily as a positive change. The diesel program and some of the other ones. It seems like funding is the primary change causer. Was it that, or is it students not seeing necessarily that it's as sexy as what it used to be a mechanic?
Well, Brian, our
diesel... technician.
We do prefer technician these days. It is highly technical field. So if you're referencing the demise of the diesel program, there's multiple factors that went into that. Certainly funding was an issue. If you really want to have a viable diesel program in today's world, you need a huge space to do that in. That would involve over-the-road trucking, heavy equipment, the marine industry. All of that, you probably need a 500,000 square foot warehouse to conduct that.
Kind of like if you're going to have a natural history museum, you need space for the dinosaurs and the woolly mammoths.
And you need qualified people.
And
they're difficult to attract in a small rural regional area like us.
Is there need for that?
Need for the diesel program?
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a well-documented need for that.
So it's just a space challenge as much as anything.
Well, space and about $1.5 million, you know.
Annually, or is that a setup fee?
I would expect to get everything going, it would be at least that, to get all that modern... heavy equipment, modern over-the-road trucking, all the equipment that you need to service all that, the bays, this whole thing. Yeah, you're talking about a pretty serious investment to get.
Well, I understand that they're knocking down the stadium. No. Take it easy, everybody. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Richards from the College of the Redwoods Automotive Department. What's the biggest misnomer that people have got either about the program or about the need for the program?
Misnomer. That's, I'm not quite sure how to respond to that. It's the misnomer about the program. There's a lot of misnomers about automotive. I mean, I always get calls all the time. One of the things I get calls weekly or daily almost is, hey, I got a great project for you. Well, we're unable to really work on people's cars. You know, there's liability issues with that, insurance regulations, and other problems that go along with that. So we really can't fix your car. I'm sorry, and that you dragged a '65 Mustang out of the ditch down there somewhere, and you want our kids to sand on it for 3 days for you. it's really not going to happen. So.
You know, that probably springs out of the old high school automotive programs.
Yeah.
Because I know, at least when I was going through, it was a number of years ago, where the teachers would be able to, at cost, have their, you know, the kids learn how to change oil or take care of this, you know, the squeaky doors, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, sure. It's been around forever. Yeah. You know, it's a good old system.
I just find
that
funny as all get out. Somebody just giving you a buzz. Yeah, I got a little something here. You know, like I'm doing you a favor.
I got a great project for you.
That you can fix my rig. Yeah. Yeah, right. It's not the bravado that surprises me.
I get a lot of calls like that.
Really? Boy. So they really don't understand what you guys are doing now.
Well, you know, with the technology today, Brian, these students really have to be up to speed on electronics, hydraulics, and electro-hydro-mechanical functions, and computer systems, and scan tools. And, you know, sanding down somebody's 65 Mustang really doesn't prepare them for a career in today's automotive.
Does it make more sense for Michael to go the physics, chemistry, college prep route rather than take auto shop?
I strongly encourage them to go towards our associate degree in associate in science and automotive technology. We've been working on a technical physics option on that for many years. I think that would be a very appropriate class for them. There are a lot of physical principles involved in automotive technology.
Yeah, I would think if you're unfamiliar with the concept of torque, you're kind of going to get lost pretty quick and maybe not even recognize what success is when it's staring you at the face.
Yeah, in today's world, everything has to be torqued properly. We have multiple metals and various types of materials, and it's absolutely critical to torque things to spec and in order. So.
Is it tougher for, the average student, the prototypical student that's coming into your class, okay? So is it tougher for them to grasp the computer electronics part on a current rig or go back 40 years and try to work on a vehicle that has no electronics in it?
Well, it's obviously a lot tougher to grasp today's electronics than when there was almost no electronics on a car. And you know, the electrical system consists of the radio and the headlights.
In that order, I might add, yeah.
So,
I was wondering, because of so much familiarity now with computers and the lack of fear and the general understanding of what they do and how they do it, that might be more comfortable territory.
Yeah, the magic box. The computer. We have multiple communication systems. There can be 10 or 15 communication links inside a modern automobile communication system between the transmission control module, the powertrain control module, the accessories, the lighting. Everything has its own module, and they all talk to each other, so on a network.
And then if there's a problem, what's the thing the GM came out with? You used to push the button and somebody would talk to you at the OnStar.
OnStar.
Yeah. I imagine they probably have something akin to that for the mechanical end of things, too.
Well, if you have a lot of problems, OnStar will come on and tell you need to park the car. It's about to stop.
Oh, really?
It has been known to do that.
Oh, that's cool.
Your warning system's in place.
Yeah, yeah. Are you surprised at how rapidly things have changed?
No, I've been in this a long time now. I'm surprised at the constant evolving of the technology and what we see. I mean, it's amazing the technology that's gone into the automotive changes in just my 30-plus years of involvement in it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, for those of us who don't know anything, okay, fine, we don't know anything again, big deal. But for those that are involved with it, can you tinker at home now?
Tinker at home? I mean, I'm tinkering at home with a project car. I got a 72 Ford Bronco. I'm tinkering on that. But would I go home and tinker around with my 2014 Ford Fusion Hybrid? I don't think so, Brian.
Kind of tough to do, huh? Maybe change the wheels, maybe, if you have the gear.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Rotate the tires and change the oil.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Michael Richards.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Michael Richards from College of the Redwoods. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. It's kind of interesting thinking about the topics, you know, just general automotive. How much has been in the news lately? You know, I bet you if we had asked folks, give me the top five topics this past year in the news, automotive-related things probably wouldn't have come into play. But they're there. I mean, I'm sure you get a gazillion opportunities to answer the question, airbags? What's going on there? So maybe we can save you some pain here. When I ask you, airbags, what's going on here?
Major recalls. Major recalls and shortages of parts. You can't get the parts even if you have the recall. A lot of people wait in line for months to get the recall done because there's a shortage. You can't build the bags fast enough to.
Is it a science or art to make the bags?
It's a manufacturing process. I'm not the manufacturer.
It's a robotic then. It's not somebody by
The redesign hand. And redesigned product is being turned out as fast as they can turn them out, I'm sure. Takata is working tirelessly on that, I'm sure.
What's the issue with the ones that have been recalled?
Well, if they're as they age and deteriorate and acquire moisture and humidity, they disintegrate, and then when the airbag sets off, it sends shrapnel right at your chest, at the equivalent to about a quarter of a stick of dynamite. So, the very device that was designed to save you could bring about your demise.
And the shrapnel is coming from the.
The airbag itself degraded internally, sitting on the steering column for 20 years, 15 years, and humidity and heat and
just life.
It's done its job.
So the fabric itself is
materials,
a weak point?
Yeah, and materials that are used in there.
I can understand why that might be a concern for people.
Yeah, yeah.
Quarter stick of dynamite, huh?
That's about the.
Have you ever been in a crash that airbag was deployed?
I have never been in one. I have deployed them as a demonstration in class a couple of times to encourage drivers and students to wear their seatbelt, because that is absolutely critical that you have your seatbelt on with an airbag. If you don't and you actually go forward, the airbag, even with that before the shrapnel problem, could have actually caused serious injury or death. So the seatbelt keeps you back. There's a little tiny explosive device in the seatbelt that pulls you back just before the airbag deploys.
Oh, they're connected.
They are connected.
So if you're back against the seat and then the bag deploys, or explodes, I guess is now the accurate term, is the bag designed only to go so far?
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't knock you out.
Whole thing takes about 5 milliseconds.
I can count that high.
I mean, it's deployed and it's deflated in probably less than a second.
So you really can't hardly... Can you see it?
Timing is critical.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, I've never had one deployed either. So if you're driving an older model, let's say a 20, 25-year-old rig that has airbags, you okay?
Those are the ones that were the first in the recall.
So they do have a life expectancy.
Yeah, they do. And the recall has been expanded to include later and later models as went on with the investigation.
And the recognition of
the
it.
The investigation continued.
Yeah, oh boy. That'll probably go on forever and ever then. When were they first designed into vehicles?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't say I first started seeing those. I'm going to say I'm thinking around the 90s somewhere, but I'm not sure.
And those were the front, not the side bags, right?
The steering wheel mounted ones were the first in there. The side airbags came later.
You mentioned steering wheels. What do you think about these driverless rigs?
Autonomous vehicles.
Is that, to me, that's just a little goofy.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough enough for me to be in a car with somebody else driving it, let alone being in a car with nobody driving it, unless there's a rail involved, like a train or something like that. You get dropped onto something, okay, but relying on computers?
Yeah.
How many times do you have to reboot your computer at work?
Computers in automobiles are pretty reliable. You may or may not be aware of this, but many modern vehicles on the road have collision avoidance systems built into them. And in the event of a collision, to avoid a collision, it actually disengages the steering wheel from the driver so that you can't maneuver it improperly.
It's like Disneyland at that point?
It just takes a solenoid and just pulls a gear down, and you're no longer in control of the vehicle, and it avoids the collision for you. So there are lots of cars on the road that have collision avoidance systems on them right now that people may not be aware of that. Sort of a drive-by-wire situation in an emergency there. So, and that technology has been approved through the Federal Highway Traffic Safety Administration, tested and retested multiple times, and it works pretty good. So autonomous vehicles are just the next step to me. For me...
So you're comfortable.
Well, I'm not going to be riding around in one.
Okay. In theory, in the classroom, we're comfortable with this, yeah.
But I'm happy to learn how to fix them and encourage students to embrace technology and get in there and be the first one who can work on that system, and there will be some money to be made on that.
Oh, I would imagine you start to become that fluid and that knowledgeable with it, and then you get it taken care of quickly. Yeah, you'll be in high demand.
I'm working on hybrids and electric vehicle program right now for CR through the Workforce Investment Initiative that we're securing technology education, working on a grant to develop and purchase and study and work on hybrid and electric vehicles. So we're in the process of...
Starting to get to that point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they use a 220? Is that what the plug is? When they plug in for the juice, or is it?
Well,
110,
you can get a 220 setup to recharge. That charges it faster than a 110. It's a little more money. You have to get it set up in your garage, but it does do it a lot quicker and more efficiently.
It's still goofy stuff. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47, final couple minutes of this morning's show. Michael Richards from College of the Redwoods Automotive Department is with us. You had expressed interest in, there's a, we hear about the ASE certification, and I guess that's kind of like a college degree now, or a two-year degree or something like that, the various 10 steps on that, but are there advanced certification opportunities for those who want to or need to?
Yeah, there are 8 ASE certification areas, and if you get all 8 of those, you become a master certified technician, which I've been for about 40 years now. Our program is certified under NATEF, National Automotive Technicians Education Foundation, which is a subgroup of ASE. ASE certifies technicians. NATEF certifies training programs. It's the highest recognition for a training program in the United States and Canada. We have been a master certified program for 16 years now at CR. We're one of few in the state of California, and I'm very proud that we're able to achieve that accreditation and recognition.
So how do you maintain that?
Every 5 years, we have a group comes out and reaccredits us. They have an evaluation team leader assigned by NATEF and local team members that we select to be on the team, and they evaluate our curriculum, our shop, our equipment, all of the standards against the standards for NATEF, and give us a rating and recommendations for improvement or commendations.
So they don't call you up and say, hey, I got a project for you.
No, they don't. 2.5-year intervals, we do an internal review of it and send that in. So
they're certifying the program, not the individuals who are in the program at that time.
Well, the instructors have to be accredited properly and certified and everything as well. So they're certifying the entire program, the training, the instruction, to ensure that we're keeping up to pace with technology.
I would suspect that there's a crying need for graduates from the program, too.
I can't graduate them fast enough. I get calls every day, at least 2 or 3 a week from shops and towns, and they need techs, and do you have anybody for me? Hey, Mike, I got a need for this.
The demand. Help me, yeah.
And I can't fill those fast enough. I have placed 100% of my graduates for the last 15 years.
Now, that's a record to be proud of. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.